All right, welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report, chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, in the last segment I did with Chris Vermeulen, we discussed the rebound that we're seeing today, almost a reversal day in terms of U.S. equity markets, and we also discussed the reversal day yesterday and continuation higher, arguably even another reversal day today, for gold and gold stocks. What I want you to do, though, is compare the bounce in both of these sectors or markets, U.S. equity markets and gold stocks, to maybe a bigger picture take on money and traders' mentalities as we see these two sectors going up together. Obviously, a little bit of confidence that traders have to put some money to work in quite different sectors. However, they have been moving very much hand in hand when we've been getting liquidity events and also this more injection of money. Well, how are you comparing these moves?
Well, that last comment you made is the most instructive, Corey, that gold stocks have been moving in lockstep with the health of the overall stock market. Anybody that hasn't figured that out yet hasn't paid attention the last few weeks. If you believe, for instance, as I said to you off air, that the 2350 level, which is now held for a second time today, though the day is early, is the bottom, and we're going to start working higher, then yeah, gold stocks as well as a whole truckload of others are pretty darn cheap and you should be buying them. But if you still think there are shoes potentially to drop and we're going to go much lower than 2350 in this bear market, then you should not be bullish gold mining stocks or much of anything for that matter. Very, very simple. It shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Now, there was mechanically one difference that opened up at the end of last week between the gold mining stocks and the rest of the market. And that is with the implosions of those leveraged ETFs in gold doing so much collateral damage and the ripple effects of that. You had closes at last week, and some others may have paid more attention to this even than I did. But, you know, the ETFs like a GDX and a GDXJ were something like 12 or 15% lower than their underlying net asset values. So this was a major distortion. I don't know that that's ever happened in those things. So it's why yesterday you had those major gold mining stock ETFs bounce back almost automatically by at least that percentage, and now you're getting some follow on as well. So, you know, I don't quibble with the idea at all, because I've got several on my own recommended list that a lot of individual gold equities are just obscenely cheap right now. We've talked about this, that, you know, yeah, I can pat myself on the back for telling people to get out of those ETFs when they were at their highest, but I would never have expected the overall beating for every type of stock to end up what we saw. So yeah, there's an awful lot of cheap stuff out there. But in order for you to get really aggressive right now, you've got to be convinced that the powers that be have things under control, and they still don't.
That's the key point right there, is that it doesn't seem like anything is under control right now. However, we are seeing a bit more of a global coordinated attempt to control this coronavirus outbreak, but we actually don't know if this self-isolation for 2 weeks or for whatever period of time it turns out to be is actually going to work. And no doubt that it is going to hurt a number of businesses and still keep amount of fear in people's and traders' minds. Chris, there is one market that we haven't talked about for quite a while that you brought up to me before we started recording that actually I wasn't paying as close of attention to. That's the currency market and the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar screaming higher today. It's up over almost 150 basis points on the U.S. dollar index. It's 99.6 right now, or close to that level. This is a strong move higher and could be telling a very different or a more important story than what we've seen just in the last couple of days in terms of a snapback in the other sectors. Take us through your thoughts on the U.S. dollar and this aggressive move higher.
The story it's telling you, Corey, and look, Sunday night I explained the reasons why the Fed made an enormous blunder. Huge. Mohamed El-Erry and Avalians yesterday, those that follow me on social media, I offered the link to it, said exactly the same thing. They should not have cut interest rates. They could have waited until tomorrow. That wasn't going to change anything. But what they have to do way more of than they announced Sunday, and they're trying to do it piecemeal, is to push off the seizing up of money markets, the treasury market, all of this stuff. You know, one of the things that's been encouraging that affects much more so the average investor is that they're still, with the exception of that isolated blow up with the gold sector specifically, where the ETFs were the tail that wagged the dog and trashed everything. And that's a story for another day. Aside from that, there's been no issues of liquidity and that kind of dislocation with the stock market generally. That's a good thing. The bad thing is that, especially when you consider, number one, that the size of the treasury market altogether is three times what it was a decade or so ago in the wake of the financial crisis, yet it's less liquid, number one. Number two, the entire world, still on a U.S. dollar standard, is under stress from the stronger dollar and now from all the market dislocations. You have got a mad scramble for dollars and for liquidity. And I've said many a time, in response to those saying, you know, the dollar's going down the toilet and all the rest of this stuff, the risk of a major move for the dollar, I said this when it was starting to weaken, is still to the upside. If all of a sudden things start to seize up and there's a mad dash for dollars, just dust off in this sense, what happened in 2008 when the dollar screamed higher until the Fed and the other central banks did enough to stop it and turn it around and take the pressure off. The sobering thing right now that I hope is teaching the Fed a belated lesson in the wake of, quite honestly, Corey, the single worst policy decision in its 107-year history now, what they did Sunday night. I hope the dollar screaming higher has taught them that lesson and that they've got to add zeros to the facilities that they brought out in the wake of the financial crisis, and only when you see the dollar go down and keep going down will we know that this danger is past, because of all of the stuff. And one of the reasons why even today's stock market rally is suspect when it wouldn't necessarily be otherwise is because of the dollar. Now, the Fed has announced this morning another $500 billion daily repo facility for this afternoon. It won't all be taken up. Some of it will. You know, that's more for show, really. More importantly, what they've done is to resurrect the commercial paper facility that they had in the wake of the financial crisis. They're talking about doing some other things. So far, they're not doing enough. And even now that the quiet period is over and there is not a regular FOMC meeting today and tomorrow, at least for the first one, Loretta Mester, the president of the Cleveland Fed, came out this morning and offered her individual opinion of why what the Fed did Sunday night was a mistake and that they shouldn't have emphasized rate cuts so much, emptied that part of their arsenal for absolutely no gain. And in fact, as we talked, you know, in the wake of that, to great harm of things. And they need to get a lot more serious about reining in the dollar and stopping the seizing up of money markets. You know, nobody wants to see a situation like we had before where if you're an investor and you've taken refuge in a money market fund of some kind, maybe you're not getting any interest, but at least your principal's safe. Do they really want to tempt at fate again and have a situation where these money market funds say, you know what, that $1 per share constant value that we promised you always going to have, we got to give you a haircut. You think there's been panic now, wait until that happens.
Yeah, well, even when you and I were talking on Sunday after the Fed surprise 100 basis point rate cut, we were saying that this is a stupid idea. This is not going to help out anything. And it turns out that we were right on that one. But talking about some of the tools that the Fed has, how close are we right now to, well, helicopter money or even what you've termed it, fuel up those cargo jets and start dropping money on the average citizen?
You know, I was trading quips online earlier with my old friend Peter Grandich. Some people remember that name. And, you know, he put out a picture of a helicopter showering money. And I said, forget it. The helicopters have been retired. And not only is Jerome Powell having to break out more cargo planes, they're about to send the military to Area 51 and get these monstrous extraterrestrial vehicles they've been hiding there and put them damn things up in the sky and start showering money. You know, we're already getting there. You've got several competing proposals that will do everything, Corey, from basically suspend payroll taxes for American workers to just sending everybody a check. You know, they did this kind of thing in the wake of the financial crisis. They're going to do it again. It's only a question of working out the details now. There's no question something like that is coming. But as a couple people have pointed out, that's not any reason for cheer either. You know, and it's about as stupid as the Fed cutting interest rates in desperation the other night. If right now they're telling us all to stay home and hunker down, who the hell needs a check from the government? I mean, everybody will take it, but is it really going to do much? No. So the big thing that they have to do, and we wouldn't be going through all these contortions if we had an honest money system in the first place, rather than the fractional reserve system that has, where the rubber band is stretched about as far as it can, and now it's really at the breaking point if these people can't pull a rabbit out of a hat. So if we didn't have that kind of a system, we wouldn't have these problems. You know, once upon a time, as I also sent out this morning, it used to be considered a virtue to not spend money if you were a consumer. You know, only deal with the necessities. But these days, the system requires consumption and debt or it dies. And that's the predicament we're in. You know, whether or not we're going to get some positive systemic changes in the wake of this, I don't know. I wish we would. But we'll see. But yeah, helicopter money or spaceship money or, you know, cargo plane money or whatever, it's on its way. More stuff from the Fed is on its way. The Fed, as I quipped yesterday, by the time this is all said and done, if you've got a gambling debt, a handwritten IOU from your buddy at the poker table who couldn't pay up, give that to the Fed. They'll monetize that for you too.
Yeah. Hey, even the Bank of Canada cut rates again today. So all the central banks are going down the same road, which unfortunately is not helping and actually only instilling more fear, it seems like, in these markets. Chris, as we progress through this week and even through the rest of this month, as we are now about halfway through this month, what's going to be crucial to watch here? There's just so much fear out there and so many different markets that are showing extreme volatility. How are you trying to keep a level-headed approach to everything?
Well, look, by and large, I think that for the average person and the average investor, the worst of the coronavirus expectations and what the fallout is going to be, you've kind of already baked into the cake. One of the things President Trump said yesterday that rattled markets more at the end of the day, but in the end will prove to have been a service, is when he finally came out. You know, he and his court jester Larry Kudlow, you know, would tell you to be bullish on the stock market if an asteroid was going to hit the Earth. But he actually came out yesterday and said we could be dealing with the inconveniences of this thing through July or August. He said, yes, we're probably going to enter a recession. You know, we'll do gangbusters on the other side of it. But yeah, it probably will get worse before it gets better. So now even the Trump sycophants out there have heard their leader say, you know, gee, maybe it is going to get bad. So I think that's all kind of baked in. And one of the things that I'll be talking about more in the coming days is, because this is going to be a two-step thing. We are going to get to a point where, and it's going to be a number of weeks, it could be a couple, could be 7 or 8, or I don't know, it might be July or August, like the president said, but he probably padded that. So if things get better earlier, we'll have more exuberance coming out of the bottoming process here. We will get to the end of this coronavirus thing being the inconvenience and a hit to the economy that it is now. No question about that. And when we do, we're going to get perhaps is historic a rip higher for stocks and other risk assets is this straight decline down that we've seen. But that brings us back to two things. Number one, the situation that existed already, where the entire world was choking on debt levels, which will now be considerably larger. and having a hard time servicing those. And number two, the second black swan event of this year, which nobody is talking about, but longer term is far more serious, certainly to the markets. And that is this oil war that has started, which as things are unfolding, you know, the upper 20s have already been hit. We could see a one handle in a worst case scenario in front of the crude oil price, at least for a while. So I think that if you're trying to lay out a roadmap, you need to generally expect the trajectory of, number one, we get over the coronavirus thing, we get a huge rip higher, which you're probably as an investor going to want to fade. Number two, we get a longer and more grinding sideways or probably renewed downward movement that would test the stock market lows after that, when despite everything that the central banks and policymakers have done, things are still pretty dead in the water. We're still dealing more with deflationary pressures than inflationary ones. Maybe we get in this route to that stagflation light environment that I've talked about. We don't know yet. It's early for that. But, you know, just look at probabilities. Keep your head about you. You know, realize that the markets and mankind have both been through way worse than this, and we're all still here, and we will be after these things are over. But there are a lot of things to keep our eyes on. You've got to, again, keep a level head as an investor. You know, that's about all I can say.
And Chris, that's where we're going to wrap it up. It's a tough world right now, very tough markets, and hard to, again, jump on any long-term trends. But I do appreciate you sharing, or at least opening up my eyes to just how much that dollar has moved as well, because that is a very interesting nuance right now that is not, or should not, instill a whole lot of confidence in traders' eyes.
No, and really, Corey, forget gold, forget silver, forget the S&P 500. That right now is the most important asset class and figure to watch. If that goes above 100 with some momentum, we get another leg down and nothing but cash will be safe.
All right, Chris, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll chat as this week progresses. And hey, boy, oh boy, there is a lot to chat about. Talk to you later, Chris.